Fine. So the beginning of Halacha Gimel in the Yerushalmi notes that when we talk about defining something as a state Ilan, and we gave it Shiurim, which we're going to have to get back to, exactly how much it needs to produce, the amount doesn't just, this doesn't just apply to fruit trees, but it implies to Echad Ilan Srach, Echad Ilan Ma'achal. Whether you're dealing with a tree that produces fruit or does not, right? Ilan Srak is a non-fruit producing tree. Ro'inoton ki'ilu hein te'enim. So you view them as if they are figs. Ve'im ru'uyin la'asot ki'kart ve'lasos yishim v'ana be'italki chorshin kol be'tza bishvilan. Pachot mikein in chorshin lahen ela litzorchan. And if were they to be figs, they would produce shishim mana ba'italki, which again, we have to get to exactly what that means. So then, it's considered a state lan, and it has the special kula that you're allowed to work on the entire field until Shavuot, regardless of... regardless of the actual needs. And if not, then you are limited to meloha oreh v'salo, right? The amount of the basket, the person who's working at the field and the basket. Now, why is it oreh, by the way? Just, this is just very basic. So in Hebrew, unlike in English, harvesting is harvesting. Whether you harvest grapes or pomegranates or melon or whatever. But in Hebrew, for some reason, we have a different word for all of them, right? So kotzer is for, right? Right, but you could pick a grape and you could pick an olive, right? As opposed to in Hebrew, where, or at least in Biblical and Mishnaic Hebrew, kotzer is grain, and, right? Oreh is the harvesting specifically of figs. There's a different word for it. It's oreh. So meloha oreh v'salo is the amount of the person picking figs and its basket. And his basket.
Is there a reason that it shows keep her to fail as...
Okay, good. So now you tell me.
Well, you
don't
say,
okay, well, isn't that the question we have to...
That's what you consider.
Isn't that what we have to figure out, right? That's the whole point. So now... now, why this, right? Before we even get to the Gemara, why figs, right? Right, before we look at the Gemara, right... You tell me, why figs? Okay, you know what? Okay, you know what we're going to do? Because the Gemara divides it, let's turn to the Gemara and then we'll come back to the second half of the Mishnah, right? Because the Gemara treats it different, separately, right? So if you turn to the top of Dalam and Bez, it says, Echad Ilan Srak, V'lomra Amru Te'enim, why figs? Al Yidei Shapiro Tan Gasin, V'en Osod Harbe, because the fruit are big and it produces Harbe. It produces a lot. Right? And therefore, you couldn't use Hari Etrog, Peroten, Gashin, Venos, and Harbe. You couldn't use an Etrog because only it's one of the two qualities. They're big, but they don't produce a lot. Hari Zitino, Sin, Harbe. Olives produce a lot. Venom, Peroten, Gashin. But the fruit aren't big.
Figs aren't bigger than an olive.
What? Figs?
Figs aren't that
much. I mean,
big? Yeah.
Yeah, they are. It's about three times the size of an olive.
Why did you choose figs?
Figs. Tainim is a fig.
Why did they choose figs?
So there's only about twice the size.
Figs are smaller.
Figs are bigger. They aren't that bigger. Yeah, they are. What?
I haven't seen them right here yet. How big are they?
Well, then go see them right. A fig is about that big. It's pretty big. I mean, it's not a pomegranate big, but it's big.
Yeah.
Anyways. Hooray! These have both. Alternatively, other fruit produce only once a year, and figs produce all year long. Okay? Now, someone want to explain to me, and therefore what? I mean, it's very nice. So figs produce a lot of fruit, and they produce big fruit, and they produce the whole year. The asma.
It's easy to get. It's easy to get from it. It's easy to get enough to make 60 mana worth.
Okay, someone explain. Okay, let me put it differently. Okay? It's very nice that it's easier, for whatever reason, to figure out, based on a fig, how much
it
should produce.
It's easier to get that money.
Yeah, and therefore what? But we're not talking about a fig tree. So we're talking about a non-fruit tree, or an orange tree, or a lemon tree.
We're setting the bar lower.
Why? Why would you do that? So why would you do that?
Because they don't want to be very strict.
Okay. So, one way to take this, as we've seen several times, is maybe this is only because in a generation when Tosefta Shemitah is Darabanan, or it's because Tosefta Shemitah D'Oraita is only 30 days or something like that, right? But since we're dealing with Shnei Prakim, again, this is against the simple understanding of Rabbi Kiva's, of the Drasha and the Yerushalmi, that all of Tosefta Shemitah, all the way up to Shavuot, is D'Oraita. But assuming we don't hold that way, so Drasha said, look, the whole thing is Darabanan. Right? At least the extension is Derabanan. And if it's Derabanan, so we just need to come up with an easy-to-figure-out amount. That's all. When it comes to rabbinic law, we like ease. Right? Ease, objectifiable, easily quantified principles that we could share. Yeah, that's what you're telling me? Okay, fine. What's the problem? The problem is, obviously, if you think it's Doraita, that's not going to help you at all. Right? And still, it's a little bit arbitrary. Okay, you can tell me it's fine, it's arbitrary. Okay, yeah.
It can include all the other fruits, because they each have one of the qualities, so, I mean, it's like saying, even the most fruit you would think you should be the most stringent about, not to allow you to harvest it, whatever.
By the way, who seems to say exactly what Josh says? Just before Kobe, what? Right, it sounds like Menemosha says that look, right, it's just a kula. The Zeu Kula, this is just, we're lenient, right? He says at the top of Dalman Bet, he says it has both features, right? It produces a lot, and therefore the fourth line. Zeu Kula, Zeu Kula, right? Just, this is a leniency, okay? I mean, now.
Does it produce the value of
60? No, volume. Volume.
So then how do you apply lumber?
You imagine that they're fig trees and figure out. That's what it's saying. It's imagine they were a fig tree and figure out a fig tree of this size, would it produce that much fig, that many figs? That's it.
What?
Size, age, all the gansamaisa. However you want to figure it out. Right? So again, it could just be that this is all Dirabanan, right? It could just be that this is all Dirabanan, it's all Lakula, and the point is simplicity. How would you understand Rabbi Chiya in this light? Why does it matter that it produces all year long? Same thing, because it's easy. Meaning, a lemon tree, you can only figure, or whatever, an olive tree, there's only going to be a few months of year where if I want to compare, right, I can go.
Art still translate that line differently.
One second. What do you mean?
It says that Arsenal says that.
You're right. They're following a different interpretation. I'm sorry. Right, that it produces the same every year. You're right. The same every year. So what's the logic in that? That it's the same every year.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard, Rachel. We could just say it's all their abundance, all better ease, yalla. That's all there is.
It's not, it makes it harder, actually.
I mean, no. We just say, okay, look, this tree looks like that tree, and look, that's how much it produces. Correct, but we imagine them as a teina, and that's fine because it's derabanan and whatever, and it's just easy because we can look at the nearest fig tree, and that's fine, right? Well, we'll see what it does and what it doesn't do. Okay, is there another explanation, though? All right, what else might it be?
The rest of it, there's some basis from the second for why.
Good, what is it? What's the logic? There is another logic here, right? It's a pretty simple logic, but there is another logic, and what is it? Come on. Right? There is another logic to it, and that is, why is it a random measurement? Yeah, it's convenient, and therefore, so what? But we just said, but it's all right. To how often do we say?
If it's for a race, then I would want to use one of the things that were mentioned in the podcast.
But why would it be right? So what is the logic? Is there a logic to this? If it's not just derabbanan and random, then
the Torah is saying that in order for it to be considered.
Come on, it's a very simple point. You guys just are thinking too complicated. There's a very simple point, which is the issue really whether it produces fruit? No. What's the issue? Whether you're working for the land or you're working for the tree. Remember? Working for the land or working for the tree. If you're working for the land, that's Lutzarech Shvi'it, and it's Asur. If you're working for the tree, then it's Mutar. And we already said that if it's a non-fruit tree, what work are you doing for it in Shishit? Why is it for 6 years? Ma'aver HaKoret, right? You're working for the strengthening of the trunk. The point is that what do we need here? The question isn't, are you actually working such that you will produce this amount of fruit? All you need to figure out is the work that I'm doing plausibly for the tree or for the field, right? How do you figure that out?
If it's healthy enough.
Right. Another way of just understanding this Gemara is it's saying, listen, the issue here isn't, the issue here isn't if it's actually going to produce the fruit. Because if an olive tree produces, you know, some in 1 year and less in another, it's a little bit random. But it's not about the health of the tree, right? Then regardless of how much it produces, if I'm working, if I need to work this much for a healthy tree, so then if I'm working for a healthy tree, it is for the tree and not for the, right? Not for the land. It's not just that, why do I look at figs? Because figs have a certain consistency to them, right? And therefore, they're a good way of figuring out, right, how much work needs to be put in for the tree as opposed to the land. That's really what's going on here, right? Now, right, we could distinguish and say, listen, maybe there's a difference between the two positions here in the Gemara, where according to the position that the main reason is because it's big and it produces a lot, maybe that's just a kula, right? Because look, I'm finding the most makel standard I could possibly come up with. If you say it's about consistency, right? So then maybe it's not that it's makel. It's just that the point is that trees require a certain amount of work, right? Some trees, no matter what you put into it, will produce the same amount every year, and some won't. That doesn't mean that it wasn't necessary, right? And therefore, what we're looking at is consistency, simply because, right, what we're looking at is some standard to figure out, is it for the tree or not, okay? I don't think it's too complicated to realize that, on the end of the day, there's actually a logic to this. Since the point is not, is it producing fruit, but am I working for the tree or not, okay, fine. And again, there might be slight nuances between them, but let's not get too bogged down in it. Okay, so let's now go back to the Mishnah, to the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah tells you what? Haya echad oseh kikar dveila ushnaim ein osin. Oshnaim osin vechad ein oseh. Ein chorshin loen ela tzorchan atu shlosha. If one produces and two doesn't, or two produces and one don't, you cannot treat it as a field, right, as an orchard, with all the kulot of an orchard, until how many, Mordechai? Until you have three. Three which are producing. Right? Umishlosha ve'atisha, or 3 to 9. Aval hayu asara mesar olamala. Bein ozen beishen ozen charshan kol beitza b'shvilan. But once you have 10, they don't need to produce. Once it's 10, it's an orchard. Regardless. Let's read the Mishnah. Okay? Then we'll take a question in a minute. And what's the proof? Shina Amar, and now we quote the Pasuk that is attributed to Rabbi Akiva in the Bavli, though in this Mishnah, but not the first Mishnah, is just brought without attribution. The Charesh Vikatsir Tishbot, Ain Sarah Lomar Charesh Vikatsyosh Shviit, Ella Charesh Yoshin Erev Shvit Nechnas Shvit, because Shvit Yotzeh Matzeh Shvit, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Macharit Rishut, Avkatzer Rishut, Yotzeh Katzer Omer. Right? So here we have the Machloket. Again, the Pasuk attributed to Rabbi Kiva and the Bavli is given without attribution, and Rabbi Shmuel uses it for something else. This, by the way, further complicates all of our discussion on the first halacha, which is, right, because it's not just the Bavli, it's also this weird Mishnah where Rabbi Kiva is unattributed, right? So you do have to sort of put this in the data when you're trying to figure out the first halacha. Okay, now, someone tell me the problems here, right? How do we understand these Mishnah and Mordechai? Come on. Why is it? What, did no one sleep last night? Come on.
There was a movie
night. Okay, good. So now let's try to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says one produces and two, right? And one produces and two don't produce, or two produce and one don't produce, da, 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 da. What does all of this mean? What are we even talking about? There are only 25 understandings. Good.
What?
Yes. Oh, he faced me. Yeah, this is very complicated. Okay, remind me, how does the Rosh understand it? Let's start off with the Rosh. Right, remember the Rosh? We mentioned the Rosh. What does the Rosh say in the Mishnah here?
Either they all together produce one, or
good, so the Rosh says that the issue here, very good. The Rosh says that the issue here is they each need to produce. Right, they each need to produce a kikar dvela. Right?
Sounds like him, because if you're saying anything else, then the problem would also be that they didn't produce enough.
Well,
what
is he saying? He's saying, listen, according to the Rosh, if you have three trees, they all need to produce 60. If you have 10 trees, right, and if you have from 3 to 9, they also seem to all need to produce it, though we'll see in the Yerushalmi that's true. And at 10, magically, you don't need it. What the heck is the logic to that? Right? What would the logic be? Again, we're going to qualify this in a minute when we get to Yerushalmi. But what would be the logic to say that from 1 to 3, or maybe even from 3 to 9, they all need to produce 60, but at 10, they don't need to?
The standard isn't changing.
Why not? So someone tell me why not. What's the logic?
How you view the field.
So one possibility is how you view the field, which is, listen, if it's 10, so then someone relates to it as an orchard. If it's less than that, then the only way for you to relate to an orchard is if they are groisse producers, right? They produce a lot of fruit, right? They're very, very big trees. What? What did we say it was 28 kilos, something like that? It's a lot for one tree. It's a lot. Something like that. So one way is to say that it's about how you relate to it. So listen, if it's 10 trees, we don't have any standard. 10 trees, it's an orchard, so. But if it's less, so then they each need to producing a lot. Okay? What's the problem with that?
Why all of a sudden 10?
I mean, okay, you could always ask, why 10? But also, like, it's a little bit odd that they each need to produce, 60, like, right? I mean, that's a lot. I mean, right? I mean, it's a lot, right? And second of all, when you say each of them needs to produce 60, what's also weird about it is that it seems to be focusing on the tree rather than the orchard as a whole, right? Which is a little bit odd, because the issue is the orchard, right? So it's a little bit odd.
But
it's not impossible.
His opinion makes more sense, because if you hold up the other one where together they just need to make it, then that would have been the...
Okay, we're going to see. Okay, fine. Well, let's just try to understand. What else? How else might you take it? Again, we've done this over and over again, but you might not say that it's about how you relate to it. It might be
agricultural,
meaning then how would you justify it? You'd have to say something crazy.
You could say you could say that each tree individually with the almond
right.
priority takes up a bunch
right.
of
right. Meaning you could say, like, look, big trees that would produce a lot, they need a lot of work, and therefore it's legitimate for the tree. There comes a point, though, when you have so many trees that even if they don't produce a lot,
they're taking most of the
You need to do the work for whatever reason, because it takes enough space, yeah, whatever. Right, such that you need to work for the sake of the tree. Something like that. Okay? Yeah. However, yeah, Shlomo, what do you want to say? The minimum is, the Mishnah seems to assume the minimum orchard here is 3. Right? Less than that, not. Right? The Mishnah just assumes that. Right? It never justifies that assumption. Okay. So good. Now, what's the other position here? The other position is variations on a theme, which is? They together need to make 60 mana, right? Not each tree needs 60 mana. So now again, now here's going to get a little bit more complicated. Because, okay, if each of them has to produce 60 mana, sorry, total they have to produce 60 mana. So what's the logic? What's the logic that together they have to produce 60 mana? This is easy.
It just says that.
What's the logic? Not linguistically. I know how to justify it linguistically. Right, so one is agricultural, which is, look, the point is it needs to produce 60. I don't care if it's one tree that produces 60, two that produces 60, three that produces 60. I don't know. Well, not three. Three, four, five together that produce 60. It's demanding enough of the field that now you need to work for the tree, right? But when it hits 10, even doesn't produce 60. I mean, look, at some point, there's so many trees, right? You got to work for them, something like that, right?
Or in order to call it a field, it needs to produce 30.
Correct, or in order to... Now, what's the problem? Is the next line, which is, okay, if it's just purely agricultural, when you produce enough, right? So then the work done is for the tree and not for the field. So then how do you understand the line of... Shnayim osin ve'echad eino oseh? What are you talking about? Right? Because according to this logic, what is shnayim osin ve'echad eino oseh? What does that have to mean? Right, according to the Rosh, it means two produce 60 and one is ineffectual. But according to them, the Shnayim, what it total, how much does this field have to be producing? 60, because otherwise what? Otherwise, right, it wouldn't. This question wouldn't even get off the ground. So what is Shnayim Osim Nechar Eino Seh? Eino Seh what? Very good. So at first glance, we'll see in the Yerushalmi, which is the case, you might say that what does it mean? That Shnayim Osin, that even though it produces 60, still, in order to be an orchard, what does it need? Trees, plural, right? And if one of them is not able, right, it's not even ready to produce anything, then...
How can you call a tree?
Right? Exactly. Then
no,
if we discount it, right? But what would that tell us? That there's a hybrid here, that in addition to the agricultural requirements, what does it need to be? An orchard. It needs to be an orchard. And therefore, one huge tree, besides that grape one, which is the exception, right? That's right, which spreads out over the whole field, because but that's not midin a field. Yeah. That's meloha or revisalo, right? Very good. Right? So, according to that position, right, you'd come up with, now, as we'll see in the Gemara is really going to push this. The Gemara is really going to push this, try to figure out exactly what it means. Okay? Now, by the way, in general, right, the Rosh and the Rosh are the ones who say each tree needs 60. The Ravid is the one who most explicitly says that it's just the total. We'll see. The Rambam is a little bit. It's terrible, actually. It's very, very, very complicated, okay? Fine. Okay, fine.
Irby, can you have a tree that doesn't produce anything, that isn't worthy of producing anything?
Yes.
Like what?
I don't know. You look at it, it's thin and dying. Oh, it's dying. Yeah. Hey, no, it's not right. It's not even right.
Like 0.00001.
It doesn't.
Still contributing something.
I don't know. Now, there is a possibility. Now, you guys will automatically assume that not according to the Rosh, but according to everybody else, right, that we're talking about totals here, then what does Shnayim Osim Ve'Echad Eino Oseh mean? What did you assume it means? Produce anything. But what other logical possibility, before you even get to the Ushami, what other logical possibility exists? What else might Shnayim Osim Ve'Echad Eino Oseh mean? No, well, that's the Rosh. But according to other Shita, right, so that's the opposite extreme. There is a middle possibility, and that is...
It produces not enough.
Very good. It produces not enough. Right? And then you got to figure out, well, okay, I understand why, according to the Rosh, each need to produce 60. That's just the definition of a tree for these purposes. Right, I understand why you say it can't produce nothing, because if it produces nothing, so it's like dead or something. So therefore it doesn't count, so it's not an orchard. But what would be the logic to produce something? That's where the Yerushalmi jumps in. Well, no. Clearly not, because it's Shnayim Osin Echareinu Osin. It's clearly not producing an equal amount. It's producing something. And what is that something is what the Yerushalmi is going to have to try to figure out. And here the conceptualization gets fascinating. So let's see. We're going to get to young trees. That's Netiyah. Okay? Fine. So now let's turn to the second half of the Yerushalmi here. And these three lines or so are very, very complicated. Okay? But they are fascinating. So let us try. Okay? You are literally holding your eyes open. Wow. That is Mithira's Nefesh. Really, what was going on? Like, everyone is so tired. What was this movie? Like, what? First of all, was the movie at least good? Oh, it was good? Okay. Okay, Lefachot Zeh. Lefachot, it was a good movie. What was the movie? What? Oh, this is when Yotam was telling me some very depressing Eov-inspired movie. Yeah, wow. Okay. Fine. Eov-inspired movie by the Coen brothers. Yeah, okay. But it was good?
After we left, it started.
And then... Yeah, you guys really... You got to get enough sleep that for yourselves you are not dying, okay? I'm not telling you how much sleep you need. I'm not telling you how much sleep you need. I'm telling you you need enough sleep for you, okay? Whatever that is. Okay, whatever it's for you. I don't know. If you can function on 4 hours of sleep, then...
I need like 8 or 9.
So if you need 8 or 9, then get 8 or 9. But, you know, there was someone my year in Yeshiva who was really like that. He really needed that much sleep.
I do.
Yes. So do you know what he did?
What?
Very simple. From 7 in the morning when we started until 11 o'clock at night, when night sitter ended, he learned 60 seconds of every minute, and then as soon as it hit 11, he went straight back to his dorm and went to sleep.
Really,
no phone, no nothing, right? If you need 8 hours of sleep, then guess what? You figure out and you get 8 hours of sleep and you don't waste the time on anything else. That's the way you do it. If you happen not to need 8, you still do that, but just not with 8. Fine? Yes. What?
I wish.
No. It's not I wish. It's that's what you do. This is not like in somebody... It's not like at the end of night sitter someone kidnaps you, right, and forces you to do manual labor until 2 in the morning. You guys are on your phones. My God, that's your problem. You actually have free will. I'm just telling, slight reminder. I understand there are minority views in the Jewish canon who say you don't have free will. But the majority view is you have free will. You have the ability to, I know this is crazy, turn off your phones. And God forbid, heaven forfend, it is terrible, turn it off. Oy, Gewalt. No, you allow your lives.
No.
Really? So, see, it's funny because, right, as much as I also feel like addicted to my phone, as soon as Friday night comes and I turn it off, it's not like I have any time before it for Shabbos, right? It's like, because that's programmed in. I don't use it on Shabbos, thank God. Every time, by the way, some posting suggests, oh, electricity really is an usur, make right din, maybe we should rethink it, and I'm like, no. No. Whatever you do, right, don't come up with any argument that phones are mutter. I can also do the arguments, but I don't want to. Okay?
Wait, did the argument say that?
I did not say that. If I said I could construct such an argument, right?
Well, they're not mutter on Shabbos?
Correct. Of course I could construct such an argument. I mean, not typing on it, because that's at least Darabana. That's at least... Well, it's maybe Daraisa, maybe Darabana, and maybe not even Darabana. It's a huge machlokas. But no, phones obviously. Ugh. Yeah. Okay, I'm just reminding you of free will. Friendly reminder of the Ikari Emuna there and the implications of it for self-control. Okay? Good. Yeah. Okay, so then if you... Point is, don't allow yourself to be controlled by these things. If you need sleep, get sleep. I don't know, this is not so complicated. You know? Start by putting on a blue light filter on your phone at night. Start with that. That's not even a big deal. It just means that it doesn't play with your brain. that's little.
My problem is I keep coming up after
1
p.m. I go back to sleep and then I get up every hour.
So learn.
And then I get up, is that I get up and...
So figure it out. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Point is, if you know you're going to be exhausted and not functional, get more sleep, right? Unless you're doing something very important. Like, I don't know, you're saving somebody's life. If you're saving somebody's life, I forgive you if you're falling asleep, okay?
You don't do it.
Whatever.
I know what I need to do, I just don't do it. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I'm just saying, reminder, that's all. Hiya, Echad Osef. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabibai B'Shem Rabbi Chanina, U'Bilvad Shlo Yivchot Mecheshbon Mishuvashim, Ze'ira Bar Chinana Amar B'Vad Shivchot Mecheshbon Mitushain. Okay? This is probably going to take us the rest of today. This is fascinating conceptually, but oh my God, is it hard? Right? So, Rabbi Bibi says, in the name of Chanina, what does each tree need to produce? The answer is not anything. It's, Rabbi Bibi says, Cheshbon Mishulashim, and Zeira Bar Chinina says, Cheshbon Mitushain. So, here are the two major questions you got to figure out in these line of the Gemara. One, what does it mean? Two, are they arguing? That is not clear. But okay, but Moshe, go ahead, defend yourself. They are not arguing. Good, that probably depends on how you understand it. So you tell me, why are they not arguing? What do you think they mean? Can someone, by the way, get me a... I meant to bring one. Can someone just get me... Quickly run and get me a Rambam. Like, not the one-volume Rambams. Like, the... What? Not the... Like, the regular Rambam in Zerayim. Right? Like, the red... what's it called? Like, the Frankel Rambam. Specifically the Frankel. Okay? But good. Moshe, why don't you try to defend yourself? You say there's no machloker. Why do you think there's no machloker? Why not? Why are they not arguing with each other? If you want to say they're not arguing with each other, what are they saying? Okay. Rav Bibi says they can't be less than Cheshbon Mishulashim, and Zeira says they can't be less than Cheshbon Mitushaim. How is that not an argument? You just said it's not an argument. Good. Tell me how it's not an argument. You're following the art scroll. So good. Right? The art scroll tells you that there's no machloket. Good. Why not? Wow, the article thinks there's no machloket following the Raivit. Because what does the Raivit think it means? Come on. Okay, I guess this will have to do. Does this one have the Mari Kirkus? No, it does not. Okay, whatever. We won't have the Mari Kirkus, but we'll start with this. What? It's not the Frankel one. It's fine. For now, it's fine. I may need the Mari Kirkus, but let's start here. Okay, one second. What?
The other red one. One second. Shmita's Yovel.
I mean, they're not really arguing because they're both going on the principle that, like, if you have, like, you know, the amount of trees, is it
number. Number.
Yeah, the number of trees, is it producing, like, whatever percentage?
Okay, very good, right? They're following here the Ravid. That says that what does Cheshbon Meshulashim and Cheshbon Metushayim mean? They're not arguing. What they're saying is what? If there are three trees, then you need Cheshbon Meshulashim. Right? If there's three, then you divide it into three. If it's nine, you divide it into nine.
Or,
and if it's seven, you divide it into seven. And therefore, they're not arguing. They're saying the exact same thing. Right? That is how the Ravid.
You can say that they're arguing. You say that. Rav Bibi is saying that that no matter what, it's a third. And
now, wait one second. According to this, right? According to this position, the Ravid, right? What does this whole sugya mean?
It means that they're both holding the...
So first of all, what does it mean?
That each of them has to be able to produce their own...
How much? Exactly that amount, or more. Meaning, according to him, according to this position, not only is the total 60, but each tree must pull its weight equally. Not necessarily equally, meaning you could have one that produces more, but the minimum of whatever you would need to divide 60 into the number of trees there is. Right? Each tree needs to pull its weight. Right? Each tree needs to pull its weight. Right? They need to produce the average of what they would need in that field or more. Right? But therefore, if you had, according to this Shita, right? If you have 5 trees, 4 of them produce 50 each. Okay? And one of them produces 10. Do you treat this as an orchard or not?
No.
No, right? Because one of them, 4 of them produce way more, but one of them needs to produce, right? Mechumashim, 1/5 of 60, which is 12, and it's producing 10, right? Nevertheless, right? Now, what's the problem with this logic? There's an obvious problem with this logic, which is, if you had 6, if you had 6, right? Then 10 would be enough. If you had 7, 10 would be more than enough, right? But pitom, you have 5, it's not enough, even though you have more than 60 total, and in principle, this tree is producing more than it needs to in a more populated field, right? So what the heck is the logic for that type of position? That it needs to be 60 total, which focuses on the orchard, but each must pull its weight as the average minimum would be for this number of trees. What is the logic for such a position? Really? If I have 6 trees, and each of them produce 10, or I have 5 trees, 4 of which produce 50, but one produces 10... The one with, right? Pray tell how one of those agriculturally needs more work. Let's do the math very simple. Do both, right? One of them has 4 trees that produce 50 and one is one that produces 10. The other has 4 trees that produce 10 and another 2 trees that also produce 10, right? Which means that what's the difference? The one extra tree. And magically that one needs more agriculturally than the 4 that need 50. And the one that produces 10, meaning there is no tree in the one that 5 that produces less, and the other 4 produce 5 times what the 6-year-old tree produces. So agriculturally, does it make sense? No. Right? So what is the logic for this, Rived? What is the logic for such an argument? What? What do you mean? This is how we understand. So Bovach, Shnai Musim Echad Eino Oseh, right? They're clarifying. What does it mean, Eno Oseh?
Okay, fine, but...
Now, you're right. It could be an argument. It could be that there's 3 Deo. That there's that the Mishnah itself says it needs to produce something. And the Rishalmi brings positions it needs to produce a certain minimum. You're right. It could be that that's the case.
Yeah,
right?
No, but also, where's the Mishnah source? Like, effectively,
we go to the No, it doesn't provide any source. So let's try with the logic, okay? So what is there a logic to the Raven? I mean, is there a logic to this read?
Maybe it's a bigger field.
I will admit to you, I don't know. Right? I think it's very odd. I think it's very odd. Right? Meaning, I understand, listen, I understand the Rosh. Right? Which is each tree needs to produce. That makes a lot of sense to me. Right? Again, is this against the Yerushalmi? Yes, which he tells you. Right? I understand logically the position that they only need to produce total, because then you're saying, listen, either to be viewed as a field or agriculturally, it matters what the entire field produces as a total. I even understand the position that says it needs to produce 60 total, and each tree needs to produce something, right? But to say that it needs to produce 60 total, but each must produce the average, it doesn't really make agricultural sense, and it doesn't really make sense in terms of how you view it, right?
No,
it just... Okay, so Kobe says, maybe it makes sense if you do it because Look, at the end of the day, when there's five trees, if one of them produces less than the average, so you look at it, and in context, it looks like it's dead, right? Because at the end of the day, people view things by context. I think that's what you'd have to say, right? That in the end of the day, it only makes sense because if there was one more tree, it would only need to produce 10, but now that there are five trees, it needs to produce 12, and this one produces 10, you'd say, yeah, but contextually, it looks nebuch. So someone looks at it and says, wow, four well-producing trees and one nebuch tree, rather than saying a small orchard, right? As opposed to six average-producing tree, people look at it and say, hey, that's an average-producing six-tree orchard. I mean, okay, you could say it. I think it's very odd. Right? I think it's very odd. I think it's a very...
That produce a lot of fruit, but for this tree, it's clearly less than the average of what the land could put out. So it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it looks odd.
Can I say that
now? Okay, good. So, but that's the rivet, right? And the art scroll, just for simplicity, followed the rivet, even though conceptually, right? Linguistically, it's the easiest shot, right? Right? Because what does it do? It says the Mishnah says two may produce and one doesn't, and what it means consistently is doesn't produce. The average. And the Gemara then clarifies, what do we mean by average? Average, based on how many trees are there. If it's three, each of them must be produce a third of 60. Okay. And other ones, if it's five, each needs to produce 12. If it's six, each produces 10, right?
Can you say that?
Yalla. Right? How much do they need, how much if it's nine? Look, we're keeping your arithmetic up here. Right, four, right? Four, okay, let's do it quickly. Three, how many does each need to produce? 20. Four? 15, 5, 12, 6, 10, 7,
eight,
and 4 sevenths. Come on. 8 times 7 is 56. There's 4 left, 4 sevenths. Okay. Right? Fractions. Fractions. Remember this thing? It's called fractions? Wow. Right, fractions. What is it, fourth grade, third grade, second grade? I don't know. When do you own fractions? Right? 1 second. Let's just do the quick. Let's finish the math for a second. Eight. Eight's pretty easy. 7.5. It's a half. It's pretty easy. 7.5. That's. I know that's a fraction also, but like, not such a hard fraction. Okay, nine. 5 2/3. 5 2/3, right? 9 times 6, 54. 6 left, 6/9 is 2/3. Okay. Arithmetic. See, this is my job. It's there's this thing when you go back to college next year, or in 2 years, or 3 years, or how many years you stay here, right? The first like essay you write is miserable because it's like I haven't done this in a year. I don't remember how to do this. Right? The first math class. What is this thing? Right? All those. It's like I don't remember this. I've only been learning ancient Aramaic texts. Right? Unless you went to law school and you should be like, hey, this sounds totally normal. Right? But barring that, right? Everything I remember. Right? My first essay in YU. My English teacher was like, it wasn't like wrong with it. It just like sort of felt like. Stilted English. And I'm like, yeah, I just spent 2 years at Gush. She's like, oh, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you've been hearing English from Liechtenstein. It sounds sort of like 1950s highfalutin English. That's what it sounds like. Right, no, that's not how we do things anymore. Right, that's not how we write anymore. Right, so if we randomly throw out vocabulary words and basic mathematics, hopefully college will be a little easier to get back, okay?
Can you say that Irby's opinion is that it's not that it's based on the number of things, but it's each tree, no matter how many trees are in the field, needs to produce a third of 60. Each tree.
Oh, good. So now Josh tells me I have a different way of understanding the Mishnah. Right, this is the Riven, and we just went through all the conceptual problems of the Riven, okay? It's a fascinating little thing, but based on all this, Josh says, ugh, you know what? Forget the Riven. Let's understand it differently. Good. How do you understand it differently? You tell me.
No matter what, the correct way to produce 1/3,
each tree is 1/3. Good, so he understands like the Pnei Moshe. What does the Pnei Moshe say? B'vachal yivchot mecheshbon mishulashim. Al mishlosha v'al tet koi. He's saying, listen, there's two rules. One is that total needs to be 60. The second is that each tree needs to produce
at least
some sort of minimum. What is the minimum? So then he says, look at the Pnei Moshe. If you have between 3 and 9, you might have thought that once you have more than 3, they don't know if to make. So he says it is a machloket. What's the machloket? You need both Reb Zera and Reb Bibi agree that you need a total of 60, and that you need each tree to produce a minimum. What's the logic? Because you need two things. One is that either agriculturally it needs to produce 60, or you don't need to work it. Or in terms of how people relate to it, there's a minimum amount that it needs to produce. Plus, each tree needs to contribute, because otherwise it's if it doesn't exist. But what's the minimum? Why is that logical? So tell me, which of these is more logical? Reb Zera, which do you like better? Reb Zera or Reb Bibi? Come on, wait 1 second, Mordechai. Which do you like better?
Reb
Zera. Ah, good. I also like Reb Zera, because Reb Zera is a very neat logic. This is Reb Zera's logic. 1 second. Zera says, this is how it works, Mitushayin. He says like this. I work backwards. What's the maximum number of trees before we hit the magic automatic orchard number? 9. If it were 9, what would be the minimum that each tree would produce? 5 2/3, right? If you want it, right? That would be the minimum that the trees to produce, because if each produced exactly that amount, right, then each of them could produce at their minimum. And therefore, the minimum amount that we know for something to count as a tree, a producing tree, is 5 2/3, right? Or 1/9 of 60, if that's easier for you. Okay? And now he says, so this is what you do, right? It's Svei Dinim. How much does the, according to Zera, what? What? Are, oh, 6 2/3. Yeah, 6 2/3. Yeah.
But then, why does it have
6 2/3? There you go. 6 2/3. Right?
Then her BB doesn't make sense.
No, one second. So Zaire, does Zaire make a lot of sense?
Yeah.
Because he's saying it's very simple. We look at the maximum. We look at the most stretched out field you can, which is 1 with 9. There, on average, he's produced 6 2/3, so 1/9 of 60. Yeah. Good. Now, if we have 6 trees, right? So now, according to Zera, how much must they each produce? The answer is, they need to produce 60 total.
And 6 2/3.
And each of them must produce a minimum of 6 2/3. But that means if one of them produces, right, 6 2/3, right, how much do the others have to produce? More. Because if there were 9, they would eat, right? If there were 9, they could each do 1/9 of 60. But if there are only 6, and one of them only does 1/9, then the other 5 need to make up the remainder. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, his logic is very simple. You need two things here. You need to relate to the orchard as a whole. The magic number is 60. And you need, if it's less than 10 trees, then the magic number is producing 60. And each tree needs to qualify as a producing tree, because otherwise it gets discounted. And what's the minimum amount that counts? Whatever the amount would be in the absolutely most stretched out possible field before the magic number of 10, which is 9, so 1/9 of 60, so 6 2/3. Right? After that, however you want to divide it, that's up to you. Because you've accomplished both factors. Each tree is a producing tree, and...
Why does it say 10 is the most...
Because 10 is the continuation of the Mishnah. Once you have 10, it's magical. Right? 10 doesn't matter how much it produces. Right? Rav Bibi says something very odd. What does Rav Bibi say? Each needs to produce
20.
Right? That's very odd. Correct. Right, exactly. Each needs to produce 20. That is a very odd position, because what he's saying is, right, each tree counts, but based on what it would in the most condensed form.
So then 60 shouldn't be...
Correct. And according to him, it's not really 60. What it really means is, until 10, every tree must produce 20. That's really what he says, right? Right. The only way to explain Rabibi is that he doesn't really think it's about totals at all. What does he think it's about? Is we imagine the most condensed orchard, and based on that, we figure out what the minimum a tree is that it produces. But it's really, what's the heter really? It's an orchard of minimally producing trees, which is 20, right? But it's really about the tree rather than the total. The total is, for Rabibi, is basically irrelevant as the Tamosh understands it, right? Very good.
So this wouldn't work out with the Rosh?
No, it's against the Rosh.
Yeah.
Of course it's against the Rosh. It's closer to the Rosh, right? Because the Rosh says each needs 60, and he has the basic same formula, which is each tree matters. It's just that each matters with 20 and not with 60. But if you want, we open up the Rosh, okay? In the Hebrew you have it, in the English you don't, okay? So anyone who, and you have it, right? Because you have the Oz Vahadar? So you have the Mishnah. No, the Rosh Mishnah. So if you open up just the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah, I'll read it for you. But the Mishnah says that after he quotes that you need 60, he says, "Ramrin lo Yerushalmi, Rabibi Shem Rechanina Bavajiv Chot Mechezbon Mishul Hashem, Klomar Shekol Shalosham Em Yasu Kikar Dainu Shlish Kikar Lechol Echad, Ze'ir B'Shem Rechanina, Amar Bavajiv Chot Mechezbon Mishul Hashem, Klomar Shekol Tisham Em Yasu Kikar Dainu Shlish Kikar Lechol Echad." Right? So he just says, is his position consistent with Yerushalmi?
No.
Right? He just says, I hold 60. Right? Meaning, what's he really saying?
He argues in the
Rishalmi, which means, remember this?
He says it could be different.
Well, he's interpreting the Mishnah, not like the Rishalmi. There is no Bavli on this. Right? But what he's saying is, the Rishalmi says that, but I don't care. Right? The Mishnah doesn't, and I paskin against the Rishalmi. Very good. Which goes back to the question of whether you're allowed to do that. Yep. Okay, good. The Gra right, similar says the Gra has a different way of understanding it. This is really fancy. Watch this one. Look at the Gra. Got it? Perush, look at Ktavir Aleph. The Gra says something different. The Gra says, okay. Ze'era says what? Ze'era says the same thing according to the Gra. According to the Gra, what does Ze'era say? 60 total, each producing a ninth. Good? That's the same? Yes. What's the logic again? You need two things. A total for it to be an orchard plus minimum producing trees. Yeah? How does he understand Rabibi?
That only three of the nine trees need to produce a third.
Very good. He says three trees need to produce 60. And after that, all the rest of them need to produce zero.
Not even a little bit.
Correct. What's the Gra's logic? Why, if I have nine trees, is it legitimate for three to produce 60 between the three of them, meaning 20, 20, 20, or not even, 25, 20, and 15, right? And the other six, zero. What's the logic?
That's just the basic that you need.
And what's the logic? Matter. As some of the other Acharim say, what's the logic of the Gra? Because once I have three trees that produce 60, am I allowed to... Am I allowed to harvest? Am I allowed to plow this field?
Yeah.
Yes. So does it matter if I add a fourth tree that does zero? No, because...
Maybe.
Because I'm already allowed to plow the field, right? Meaning, what's he imagining? He's saying, listen, let's say I had three trees, and together they produce 60. So now is it an orchard? Yes. And then, why would it make sense for Mordechai to say, I'm going to mess up Rabbi Ziering. I'm going to run in and plant another tree, which produces nothing.
right?
I don't understand. I can already plant it. The field or the orchard already needs to be plowed because I have three trees that produce orchard. Who cares if I added four of the fifth or sixth? So pretend that they aren't there. So what? So pretend they're not there. Right? But once you see the grub, does the grub make a lot of sense?
Yeah.
100% the grub makes a lot of
now
sense. Right? Now the Pnei Moshe doesn't make sense. right? Because the Grom makes sense. The Grom is saying, listen, once I have three trees and they allow me to plow, so the rest of the trees, they don't produce enough, so pretend they don't exist and you're still allowed to plow. So why, according to B'nai Moshe, is that not true? Why, according to B'nai Moshe, would it be that everyone, that you would have to, every tree has to produce a minimum, right?
Because it depends on how the person relates to the tree.
Oh, very good. Because you could say, whoa, if there's three trees and they all produce, so then I relate to it as an orchard. But if it has nine trees, of which only three produce, what does the average person look at it? Maybe agriculturally, it still needs you to plow the whole thing, right? It obviously does, right? If three that produce 60 need you to plow the whole thing, then three that produce 60 and another six that produce nothing still require you to do, right, to plow the whole thing, right? Agriculturally, the ground makes perfect sense. The only way to justify the other position, I think, is exactly what Josh says, which is, yeah, but you know what? It could be that what'll happen, that if someone looks at a field and there are three well-producing trees that together produce 60, he'll say, aha, this is an orchard. But if he looks at the field and he sees three well-producing trees and six which are dying, what does he look at it and relate to it as? Right? Meaning in the end of the day, from a perception point of view, having failing trees actually does, right? Even though if you try to explain it to them logically, and you say, what do you mean? It was an orchard.
Based on two different criteria.
Yes, it would.
If you have a majority of good trees, then...
Correct, right? Yes, there would be multiple criteria going in. That's exactly right. Right? Exactly right.
They have that's my focus between... According to Pinoy, my focus between Rivera and... For beauties, whether you look at it agriculturally or...
Yes. Remember I said this is going to keep coming up?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right, the Likud Mishnah Eliyahu says it as well. Right, and the Ridbaz, who often follows the Gross, says the same thing as well. Right? Very good. And if you look here in the footnote, in the Chilufei Gersot, right, they give you this as well. No, I'm sorry. Oh, shoot. Okay. Now, according to... I'm sorry. I said that the Rosh said that they're arguing. That's not... I'm sorry. I'm rushing through it. Sorry. Go back to the Rosh. The Rosh... Now, right? According to the Rosh, it's impossible, right, to read this Yerushalmi as working with them, right? Unless, right...
Unless you do a flip version of the Gra, where you say that...
No, sorry. This is not 100% clear in the Rosh, right? Lidati.
But can you say that...
One second. According to the Rosh, it might be that he argues. But the Rav Matz, right? The Rav Matz understands it differently. And the Rav Matz pulls something very fancy.
Can you say that... At least three trees need to produce 60 in the
rest. No. It's different. Until now, what have we assumed according to everybody? That all of this whole Shiloh only applies until what point? How many trees?
10.
But once you hit 10, it's magic. It doesn't matter how much they produce. Does that make a lot of sense?
No.
I mean, you said, right? So what is the, what is the Rav Matz? But what does the Rav Matz now say? What's their argument? You tell me. The Rosh might say this, but I'm not sure he does. The Rav Matz definitely says this. That the Machloket Zeira and Rabibi aren't about 3 to 9. Right? Because between 3 to 9, how much does each need to produce? 60. What's the Machloket? Once you hit 10, they think that it's not magic. 10 non-producing trees don't matter. They can produce less because it is somewhat magical. But it needs to produce something. And he argues the Machloket Rabibi and Zeira isn't about 3 to 9, it's about 10. And then their machloket is what? When you're trying to figure out what's the minimum that the 10 trees should produce, do you go by the smallest, most concentrated, non-10 tree orchard, which is 3, in which case you need 10, which produces 20, which is 200, or by the most stretched out non-10, which is 9, a ninth of 60, which is 6 2/3, and therefore how much does it need to produce? Total? Right, so about 66. and two-thirds. Right? Right?
I feel like there's so
yes, right? So that's what he...
But then why is the words of the Mishnah that is going on? Is
and the, by the way, Mishnah. what's his... and why... Then he gives you this funny proof that this makes any sense. He said, why does this make any sense that 10 is magical? So he says, it's like Zimun, that from 3 to 9, you bench without Hashem's name, and then 10, suddenly you bench with Hashem's name. You see this magic.
Isn't it a lot much meaning?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what he wants for my life for that. I honestly have no idea.
Isn't it a lot much meaning?
Yeah, but whatever. But that's his, that's his logic to it. Okay? Fine. Before we finish, let me just note that, right, so they note this in the footnote. Right? 1 second. Yeah. Okay, that's that. I will note, you guys decide. Okay? I will at least say this, and you will tell me what you want to do. I will just note that the Rambam's position is, very complicated. What? So if you want to do the Rambam, then what I would say is tomorrow, read the Rambam inside, in the Mishneh Torah, read the Rambam, the Mahari Korkus, right, and the Kes of Mishnah, okay, like in the Mishneh Torah, okay? So that means you're going to need to look at the Frankel, if I have to, I'll make a copy of the page of the Frankel, and try to figure out what the Shita of the Rambam is, okay, because the Rambam's vision is very complicated. But you see how many possibilities there are in this Gemara? There, conceptually, it's fascinating, right? And again, it pushes the agricultural versus high perception issue even deeper. Fine. So then, guys, at least tomorrow we'll try to understand the Rambam and look at the Mahari Korkus, which is long, and the Kes of Mishnah, which is long, and try to understand what the Rambam is saying. Though I will let you know, I will just let you know that people, right, the positions as to what the Rambam means range from he says the same as the Ravid to the same as the Rash to a whole bunch of middle positions. So it is a little bit complicated. We'll try that for a little bit, and then we'll continue, and hopefully then tomorrow we'll do the Rambam and finish at least Halacha Gimel. And maybe even Halacha Dalet, because Halacha Dalet is not so long, but we'll see. Okay, and then Halacha Hay is actually really not so hard. Okay, fine.
So why is the